This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Thursday, March 4th. I'm Matt Hoisch. In today's headlines, Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine expected in San Miguel County, Rural Homes for Sale for Locals initiative moves forward, Ridgeway brings young voices to local government, and a mountain weather forecast. San Miguel County will soon have more options when it comes to COVID-19 vaccines.
This week, we got notification that we're going to receive 500 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the next week.
That's Dr. Deanna Colliker, Medical Director of Emergency and Trauma Services at the Telluride Medical Center and Telluride EMS Director, speaking on KOTO on Thursday. So far, the county has only used the Moderna vaccine, which requires two doses several weeks apart. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine requires only one dose. Colliker says anyone signing up for vaccinations on the county website can indicate if they prefer one vaccine over another.
And so we haven't started scheduling the Johnson & Johnson clinics yet because we're not going to do that until we actually have those doses in hand. But I anticipate at some point that if people have a preference, we will try, or our county will try its best to honor that.
But Colliker also stresses tests of all the COVID vaccines approved by the Food and Drug Administration have shown them all to be highly effective at preventing severe disease.
Overall, the rate of hospitalization, the rate of death in fully vaccinated people went to near nothing.
It's still up in the air, Colliker says, how many vaccines the county gets each week, but
right now, our county has access to over 1,000 vaccines.
She adds, supply has improved at regional retail pharmacies, including City Market, Walmart, and Sam's Club, in surrounding areas, including Montrose, Delta, and Durango. Signups for those slots are available on the private retailers' websites. On Friday, Colorado will move into Phase 1B3 of vaccine distributions, which will open vaccinations to people age 60 and above, frontline essential grocery and agricultural workers, and people age 16 to 59 with two or more high-risk conditions. But even with the increased vaccinations, Colliker stresses the continued importance of testing. Testing numbers are down, she says, not only in San Miguel County, but also across the state and nation.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. COVID fatigue or decreasing cases lead to decreasing contact tracing, which really drove a lot of our testing before. But I want to encourage people to still get tested, even if they don't have any symptoms, don't have any risk factors, because we do know that this virus exists asymptomatically.
To sign up for free testing, go to the COVID section of the San Miguel County website and click on the testing tab. We're not at the finish line yet, Colliker says, but she notes we can maybe see it in the distance. She says she recently had an experience that may be a glimpse of that approaching future.
You know, recently we had just a couple of patients in the ER, but the doctor, the nurses, the x-ray tech, the patient, and their patients and their visitors all were fully vaccinated. And it, like, everybody was kind of giddy about it. It was so less stressful. It was where we are hoping to be in a few months.
But until the community has reached widespread vaccination, it's still important, Colliker says, to maintain the five commitments to reduce transmission. As of broadcast time on Thursday, according to the county COVID dashboard, there are four active local COVID cases, and the county has administered a little over 2,600 vaccine doses. It was almost 1 year ago that Paul Major, president and CEO of the Telluride Foundation, came before the San Miguel County Board of Commissioners to discuss a new workforce housing initiative. This week, he came back to update the commissioners on the progress of the project they're calling Rural Homes for Sale for Locals, a name, Major says, that aims to avoid what he calls the stigma of affordable housing.
At the end of the day, this is about building neighborhoods for locals, and the only difference is you're pricing them for local incomes.
The foundation's approach hasn't changed much since Major's presentation to the BOCC in March 2020. The strategy is still to attack the cost of the homes by targeting cheaper financing and land and optimizing construction to minimize waste.
So all of this is about building great homes, but doing it super efficiently. This is not about cutting corners. This is about being a lot smarter.
Originally, the initiative aimed to produce 55 homes spread across Nucla, Norwood, and Ridgeway. Donated land is part of the cost reduction strategy. The West End School District has donated land in Nucla, and the county has expressed interest in possibly contributing land in Norwood near the library, but they have not yet made a formal decision. But, Major notes, in Ridgeway, the school district is not interested in donating land the foundation wanted to use. In a statement, the district says, quote, "It would be wrong for us to relinquish such an important asset for the outdoor learning and health of our students," unquote. So, Major says, they are looking at other parcels in Ouray.
And if Ouray doesn't happen, then we've got other communities, frankly, calling us to line up.
The foundation declined to name the other interested communities. Major stresses the importance of community engagement and input in the project development. For instance, he explains, off-site factory-built construction techniques will help lower costs, but there's still room to build in character to those homes.
And that's where, the community needs to step in and weigh in. It's not just color, but it's shapes and sizes. Because these panels you can move around, you can really come up with very unique homes and home designs, and frankly, neighborhood designs, which is really what it's about. It's not just building a house, it's building a neighborhood.
They've already assembled a local committee in Nucla to help with that work and serve as a community liaison to the project. Major says they plan to assemble a similar committee in Norwood in the coming weeks. The homes could be up for rent or purchase. Major also says the foundation is open to organizations buying the homes to rent to employees, but explains any decision would require an open and transparent conversation with the community.
You know, at the end of the day, we just wanted all of these units to sell. We want to get this done as quickly as possible, get them sold, and get them out there. They are not second homes. People need to live in them that work in the communities.
Major notes the hope is to develop the projects as pilots that could be replicated statewide. Several private and public organizations, he says, are interested in seeing how these initial projects play out.
There's at least 100, if not 200 communities across Colorado that are small rural communities that are in a housing crunch where they're not going to get low-income tax credits or new market tax credits to solve their problem. They need another approach, and this is what we're piloting here.
The Telluride Foundation hopes to break ground on the anticipated 15 homes in Nucla this fall and the anticipated 20 homes in Norwood in spring 2022.
The challenge we all face is the transition. Once these facilities are built, once they're operating and they're cranking kilowatt hours onto the grid, man, they just work. They're intermittent, you know, they're not steady the way that a coal-fired plant produces, but when they work, they work. And so
Alex Shelley is delivering the sort of presentation on renewable energy and the regional power system that might appear at any town government meeting. Shelley is the communications executive with the San Miguel Power Association. But Shelley's audience at this presentation last month wasn't a typical town government. It was a group of teenagers gathered on Zoom for the third meeting of the Ridgeway Youth Advisory Council.
When I first heard about the concept, I thought, what a great way to get the youth of our community involved in municipal government.
John Clark is Ridgeway's mayor. The Youth Council doesn't have authority to direct the town to do anything, but Clark hopes the newly formed body can become a source of insight and advice for the local government.
My hope is that as they learn more about what we do and how we do it, that they will educate themselves about current issues in Ridgeway and give us their thoughts as the Youth Advisory Council on things we might not have thought of.
Clark says he's been trying to get a youth council up and running for a while. He credits Preston Neal, who joined as the new town manager a little more than a year ago, with really getting the ball rolling. Neal says he started by looking at other communities who had already developed similar councils.
In California, Florida, North Carolina.
But the biggest influence, he says, was the nearby city of Montrose.
Sometimes we forget how capable the youth are.
Michaela Unruh is the Montrose deputy city clerk and a co-coordinator with the city's youth council. She was also one of the council's first members when it was founded a decade ago. She says her time on the council influenced her on her path to a career in government.
I had really not thought about it before. I knew I always wanted to do some sort of government work, but Youth Council really opened my eyes to what you get to do within local government and that direct impact on the community and serving your neighbors.
That direct impact included confronting issues such as a lack of opportunity for youth employment by organizing a Teen Opportunity Expo. A more recent council helped spearhead an anti-vaping ordinance, and this year, Unruh says, they set up an online tutoring platform to help with virtual learning during COVID. The Montrose Youth Council also has a representative that attends every city council meeting. They don't vote, but they can provide input in discussions. The Ridgeway Council, Clark explains, has started out a bit slower.
It became very clear in our first couple of meetings that they had little to no clue about what it is we actually do and how we govern the town.
So they started with a sort of local government 101.
What the process is to become home rule, what the town council structure is, the staff structure is with the town manager leading the town government, and what our meetings are like, you know, master plan, the strategic plan, really the kind of the nitty gritty of it.
Honestly, I knew we had a mayor and that was about it. And, you know, we had like, I knew that there was town council meetings that you could sit in on, but I didn't really know like what specifically the city does.
Emma Berwanger is a senior at Ridgeway High School and the newly elected mayor of the Youth Advisory Council. She says she was 2 weeks too young to vote in the November election and wanted to find a way to have a more active role in politics.
When you're in your government class, honestly, like the day we all dread the most is like learning about like our county's government, because it's honestly really boring. It's not fun. We would much rather have debates about like healthcare, stuff like that. So, you know, everybody kind of zones out and doesn't really care as much about the community government because there's so many bigger things to focus on. So it's really nice to have like an when you're in an active role in that community, you're learning about it so much more. And then when it just, even though, you know, there's 100 high school students at Ridgeway and there's only 5 of us on the council, we are all friends with everybody at Ridgeway. So, you know, we're bringing information to them. And by us just being there, we're helping the whole school know kind of what's going on in our community.
The big focus the council has chosen for the next few months is climate and the environment. Berwanger says they're putting together a video to show around Earth Day to educate the community about local energy use. Clark hopes as the council grows and develops, they can also give the town advice on projects such as the master plan and strategic plan. He encourages other communities in the region to explore their own versions of a youth council. Berwanger agrees.
I think it's a good like career opportunity to kind of explore, to show kids that, you know, you don't have to, you know, go to Harvard Law or, you know, study political science just to get involved in your government.
The next monthly meeting of the Ridgeway Youth Advisory Council is this Monday. There's no such thing as a free lunch, but people in San Miguel County could get something pretty close in the coming weeks. The county is exploring a program to provide free and discounted meals for residents at local restaurants. The county would provide grants to interested businesses with the money coming from its COVID relief funding from the state. Details are still up in the air, but at a Board of County Commissioners meeting this week, County Manager Mike Bordonia suggested subsidizing 800 meals at $12.50 per meal, with the program taking effect during off-season in April and May.
Knowing that we're going to have a large increase of unemployed seasonal workers, as well as restaurants that are typically have experiencing a much lower volume of sales.
Bordonia discussed a proposal with the commissioners to potentially fund 400 meals at restaurants in Telluride, 200 in Mountain Village, and 200 in Norwood. Those numbers, he says, are based on the number of restaurants typically open in each jurisdiction and where the full-time resident base typically remains during off-season. Bordonia notes the program would also ask participating restaurants to have a sign at the register asking patrons if they want to add a contribution to their bill to keep the program running after the county funding runs out. The program is still up in the air. Bordonia says there will be further discussion about it at the intergovernmental meeting this Monday. The county, according to Bordonia, has distributed more COVID relief funding per capita to businesses than any other county in the state. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is urging pet stores to get rid of a product with a harmful species. According to a press release, invasive zebra mussels have been found in Beta Buddy Marimo balls, a product sold at aquarium and pet supply stores in Colorado. CPW Invasive Species Program Manager Robert Walters says zebra mussels are one of the most significant aquatic nuisance species concerns in Colorado. If they enter waterways, they can wreak havoc on aquatic ecosystems, outdoor recreation, hydroelectric power equipment, and the economy. CPW says consumers that have recently purchased the pet food should first freeze or boil the Marimo balls and dispose of them in the trash. They should not be flushed down the toilet. Anyone who has recently purchased the product and believes they have a zebra mussels population in their aquarium should call CPW's Invasive Species Program at 303-291-7295 for proper disposal methods. Colorado lawmakers have given initial approval to a bill that would provide free diapers to families who cannot afford them. State Senator Brittany Pedersen of Lakewood says many residents are currently having to choose between buying food and medicine or diapers.
They're also using dangerous alternatives like trash bags that they're wrapping around their babies with duct tape.
The measure would spend $2 million to set up diaper distribution centers around the state. It narrowly passed out of a committee, with Republicans opposing it, citing the cost and lack of income requirements for eligibility. It is very likely that restaurants will be able to keep delivering alcoholic beverages to Coloradans after the pandemic is over. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
A bill earning bipartisan support at the state capitol would also let restaurants continue offering alcohol with takeout orders. Governor Jared Polis initially relaxed liquor laws to give restaurants a boost when dining rooms had to close. The proposal would keep takeout booze orders flowing for at least 5 more years. Some liquor stores opposed the measure, citing safety concerns. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for scattered snow showers tonight with a low around 15. Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-40s, and Friday night mostly clear with a low around 20. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 50, and Saturday night partly cloudy with a low around 20. This has been the news for Thursday, March 4th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. KOTO is kicking off our Winter Fun Drive with a Tiny Station concert on Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., featuring voices from across the local music community. As a result, there will be no newscast on Friday night and no rebroadcast on Saturday morning. We hope you can tune in to hear live music and make a donation to support local, non-commercial, non-underwritten community radio.
Bye.